now then. You got me now, haven't you? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 4. While you're turning there, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. We're dealing with a man today by the name of Elisha. We know that Elijah comes along and finds Elisha plowing in a field, and he throws his mantle over him and says, "Come and follow me." And so we know he says, "Well, let me go bid farewell to my mother and my father." He slays his oxen. He gets rid of going back to his old way of life. He kills the oxen and serves it to the people. He went out and he followed Elijah. Now, I think Elisha, in some of his situations, is what we know as being at the end of the rope. Or another term we use in our day, being between a hard place and a rock. And I think we've all been there. And when you find yourself in a situation like that, what do you do? Well, if you're a realist, you just tie a knot in the rope and you hang on. If you're a pessimist, you say, "Well, might as well just let go. It's only going to get worse." And if you're an optimist, you just tie another knot in the rope and keep on climbing. So what do we do in times like that? When we reach the end of our rope, we have a story here that we're going to share with you today. What do you do when you're facing problems with your children and you don't know what to do? What do you do when your marriage is on the rock and you don't know where to turn to or what to turn, who to help, who can help you during that time? Maybe you have a job and you don't like the job and you'd like to change jobs, but you don't really know where to go. So what do you do in a time like that? And then here we have a woman whose heart is broken. Her husband has died, and he's left her with an indebtedness that she cannot pay. She could not go out and borrow money. She had nobody that she could turn to. There was no banks in those days. There was no loan centers that she could go to. And so what is she going to do? Well, she's going to turn to the man of God. She's going to turn to this man by the name of Elisha and see what his comments are concerning the need that I have. And so look in verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 4, and I simply say that God knows our problem. Notice what it says. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, My servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." They could do that back in that day. You can turn back to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 25, and you can find that when a man died or a man could not pay his debt, then they could confiscate the children and take the children and work them until the debt was paid. So here was despair in the family. It says, "Now there cried," which means to moan, to cry out with a heart that is empty and really no way to turn. And so we realize here's a woman that has a broken heart because her husband has died. And I'm sure that probably some of you in sitting here today would have a story similar to what this woman may have had. So she's in a desperate need at this moment of time. There was death in her family. She'd married one of the sons of the prophets. She'd married a preacher in that day. And I want to say to anyone today, you marry a preacher and you don't know where you're going to have to go to. You may have to go to a foreign land. You never know what's going to happen. And so she's married to one of the sons of the prophets. But this husband, this lover of her life, her friend, this provider, this protector has been taken away from her in death. And so what does she do? I think some of us could maybe make ourselves familiar with this. You notice here not only that, but there was debt in her family. Since her husband had died, she could not pay the bills. And I know over the years of 60 years of being married to the right woman, we've had difficulties in our life. There's been times we didn't know how we was going to make it. There's been times that we didn't know where the money was going to come from, but we never did lack in doing God's will. There's been times that I give away the house payment to understand that I did not have the house payment, to find the house payment come in when the house payment was needed. And so I believe with all of my heart that God can supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. So not only was there a debt, but there was a devotion in her family. In spite of all the problems, here she is. She still has faith. She believes that God can meet her need. So notice what she does. She goes to the man of God and she begins to question Elisha concerning what am I to do. I've sat in an office on many, many occasions and a man and his wife come through the door and they say unto me, what can we do? We've got this indebtedness. What can we do? And I want to say this to you young people. When you fall in love, when you find the love of your life and all like that, don't go out there and try to have what mom and daddy's put together for 60 or 70 years, but just rely on the Lord. I found out when I was a young man, I always liked to drive a new, shiny new car. I enjoyed that. Everybody... You know, I found out that people didn't look at your car as much as you thought they did. But I'd buy those new cars and didn't worry about it until the payment come due. And when the payment come due, you got to make that payment. And so I found out I did not need a new car. I found out that I could drive an old jalopy Toyota station wagon and they look at me the same way. It didn't make any difference. And then I went to a Volkswagen Bug. I drove a Volkswagen Bug. I had a Volkswagen Bug that could go to Atlanta, but it never could come out of Atlanta. They'd have to come and tow me in. And so I seen what was wrong with it, and so I went to my brother-in-law, and I took that Volkswagen and put it in his yard, and I broke it down and built the motor in his yard. And then I got the thing running pretty good, and there was a guy come along, and he had a fairly new 1965 Dodge Dart 283 high post, rate shift, canary yellow, and all like that, and he wanted to trade with me, and so I felt like I was getting the better of the deal, so I traded him the Volkswagen, and he handed me the payment book. That was not good. Not good. But there was devotion in her family. She reminded Elisha that her husband had died. But you know, Elisha, he feared the Lord. Remember that? He feared the Lord. And so, in spite of her problems, in spite of her pain, she looked to the Lord to meet her need. Now, every person here today is going to come to the end of your rope sometime in life. I'll guarantee that. when you reach that point where you've at the end of your rope, and the devil tells you that God does not care about what's going on in your life, you tell him he's a liar and the truth's not in him, because God cares for his children. God cares for his children just as much as you who are parents care for your children. Although my children are all grown now, but we still care for our children because of what goes on in their life and how they're going through life. And now here they are, my children are have given me grandchildren, and now my grandchildren are given to us great-grandchildren. And so, yes, we're getting older. We're getting older, and I've already got one grandchild that's already here, and I picked her up the other day, and I couldn't keep her from crying. She just cried and cried and cried, and I knew I looked bad, but not that bad. But Ricky got her, and I don't understand that. Ricky got her, and she just calmed down. I think out of fear. Can you think of a verse this morning concerning what God can do for you? What about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you believe that? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. So what do? God releases our potential there in verse 2 down through verse number 4. Read that with me. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house but a pot of oil. Now, I'm not talking about 5 gallons. And I'm not even talking about a gallon. But if you look up the meaning of this, you'll find out it was a small container of anointing oil. Not very much there. Then he said to her, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Notice that last statement I said that I just read to you. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon them and upon her and her sons, and brought the vessels, and they brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now think about this. I think I'm going to like this. Here's a woman that's listening to Elisha and says, okay, he could have said, all right, sister, you've suffered enough. What you need to do is you need to give me a seed offering. That's what you need to do. You need to give me a seed offering, and you go home and God's going to bless you. Or nevertheless, there's other things that are out there, people say that you can do, and you can order this spring water, and if you get this spring water and drink this spring water, then it's going to meet all of your needs. That ain't what he said. He said, I want you to send your boys out, and I want you to gather all the empty vessels that you can. And the boys go from house to house, and they're knocking on the door. They knock on the door, and they say, Mama wants to borrow some vessels. What does she want to borrow the vessels for? Well, this man over here, this crazy preacher over here says, we need to borrow some empty vessels. And so she sent us out here, and we want some empty vessels. Well, I only have one. Well, that's all right. Get the empty vessels. And these two boys, they gather all the vessels. They go all over the neighborhood. And I'm sure talk gets out about that time. There's some boys out here, and all they want to do is just get some empty vessels. And they're getting the empty vessels, and they're bringing them back to the house. And so you'll notice here. Here God erases her faith. I want you to note that. God erases her faith. And he does that by asking two questions. What do you need? And what do you have? Well, I don't have anything in the house but a pot of oil. That's all I've got. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Borrow all the vessels. And so she went, and it says there in verse number 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. He expanded her personal faith. What is it that you have in your house? Well, I don't have anything. My husband died. We don't have any bank account. We don't have any savings or anything like that. Well, what do you have? Just got a pot of oil. That's all I've got. All right, borrow vessels, and you and your boys take the vessels and put them in the house and shut the door, and then I want you to begin to pour out. I'd say this thing's about... Here, let's use this. That's a brand new one, ain't it? Pour out a little oil. Well, Mama, this one's full. Okay, hand me another one. Pour out another. Mama, this one's full. So she sets it aside. And she keeps on doing that until every vessel in the house is full. And she says, give me another vessel. And he says, Mama, they are no more vessels. Now, had she borrowed more vessels, she could have got more. But she didn't borrow enough vessels. There was not a shortage in the oil. There was just a shortage in the vessels that was being filled. And so here they are. And she says, all the vessels are full. Notice here. Notice what it says. She thought she had nothing, but what was in her house was everything that she needed. First of all, she had faith in the man of God, and she had faith in the man of God who believed in the Heavenly Father that was able to meet her need. Do you remember another story about where another woman was in need, and Elijah went to her and says, make me a cake of bread, and says, when you bake the cake of bread, says, and bring that unto me. And she said, but I've only got enough, I only have enough flour for just one meal. And he said, well, bring me that, everything will be all right. And I preached a message on that many, many years ago, concerning this woman, and I preached on glory in the kitchen. Because every time she went to the meal barrel, she had enough meal in there to make another cake of bread. I don't think they filled it up. I think it was just enough meal in there. And can you not see this elderly woman as she was reaching down in that meal barrel? And I can see her coming out, and I think she's got flour in her hair. And I think she's saying, God did it again. God did it again. Praise the Lord. God did it again. So God's filling up the meal barrel, and God here's filling up the vessels. Notice not only how he expands her faith personally, but notice how he expands her faith publicly. All the community out there is talking about this woman. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have iPhones and things like that in that day. They didn't have texting in that day. But somehow the word got out concerning this woman. She's sending her boys throughout the community, and they're borrowing all these vessels, and I don't know what they're going to do with them. I don't know where she's put up a liquor still and going to fill them up with moonshine and going to sell them out there, what it is going on. But no, here's the oil that's being poured out. Notice how she expands, how he expands her faith privately. He moved in her heart. She obeyed. She obeyed what God can do. Can you imagine? Can you just shut your eyes just for a moment and picture this woman who's a widow and her two boys that's sitting in the room with her? These two boys is fixing to learn a lesson that they're going to remember for eternity. And so here it is, and the boy said, "What do we do, Mama?" "Well, hand me a vessel." And so he hands Mama a vessel, and she fills it up, and she gives it to the boy, and he sets it aside. And she says to the other boy, "says, give me another vessel." And they do that till every vessel is full. I think all of us at times have been in a situation much like this family. They didn't know where to turn. There have been times that Mary and I didn't know where to turn, but I'm glad that we had faith in God. My kids call me Mr. Fix-It. They say I can fix anything. My grandchildren... When a dozer tears up or some piece of equipment tears up, Corbin used to say, "Take it to Papa, he can fix anything." Well, I can't fix anything. But I fixed a lot of hair dryers. I fixed a lot of curling irons. I fixed a lot of other things that you women use. I've got three girls, and they said, "Daddy, I need a new curling iron." We couldn't afford a new curling iron, so what did Daddy do? He tore it all apart and put it all back together, and the thing would work. So I got they got the idea that I could fix anything. And sometimes my phone rings and say, "Daddy, what can I do?" Well, I don't have all the answers. But I usually come up with something. And I know they'll call me and they'll tell me that this, and this. And so they've learned over the years that God has taken care of my wife and I. They learned over the years that if you give God his part, God will give to you the part that you need. So they learn how to give to God's causes, God's need. And we've learned to do that over the years. We've learned to give to God's need. But notice what it says there in verse number 6 and 7. And I'm going to be brief today. And it came to pass. And as one black preacher says, that's my favorite verse. And it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, but it came to pass. It came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, "Bring me yet a vessel." And her son said unto her, "There's not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. What does that mean? The oil stayed. Then she came to the man of God, and he said, now notice here, "Go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live on what's left over." That's what he said. Here's a woman that began the day with nothing and is going to end the day with everything that she needs. I remember years ago, I was invited to a pastor's conference. And I had enough gas to get there, and I had enough gas to get home. And usually when you go to a pastor's conference, the church usually would give you a meal. They would furnish the food for the pastors. Well, I got there that day, and the pastor got up in the pulpit and says, "Well, the church today is not furnishing the meal." Oh, okay. And so, what am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to stay around the church and pray, fast, that kind of a thing, you know. So they come to me and they say, "Pastor, come on, let's go down here. We're going down here to a barbecue place and eat." And I said, "No, I'm just going to stay here." And so we're going to the restroom and all like that. This guy comes out of the restroom and he reaches and he shakes hands with me and he puts something in my hand. And I know there's something in my hand. I don't know how much it is. I slip it down in my pocket, but I know he put some money down in my pocket. So I use the restroom and I come back out, and you know, curiosity is just killing me, you know. It's down in my pocket. How much do I have here? And so I'm just wondering what it is. And I reach down in my pocket and I pull it out, and there's a 20. Oh boy. And then I look and it's folded. And there's another 20. And somebody said, "Come on, preacher, let's go eat." And I said, "I'll be there in just a minute." I got $40 to go eat barbecue. Notice here the lessons concerning God's provisions. No more vessels to fill, but enough to pay the indebtedness and enough to live on the rest of her life. Notice here the limit of God's provisions. The oil never run out. The vessels did. Two men went down to the lake to do some trout fishing. And they stayed there all day catching trout. And one feller noticed this other feller. Every time he would catch a trout, he'd pull a ruler out of his back pocket. And he would measure the fish. If it was longer than the ruler, he throwed it back. So this went on and went on and went on. This fellow that was fishing with him, he said, "I don't understand you." He said, "You catch a big fish and you throw it back, and you catch a little old fish about 6-7 inches long, and says, you keep it. I want to know what's going on." He said, "Well, it's simple. I only have an 8-inch frying pan." So rather than going and buying him a 12-inch or a 16-inch frying pan, he just stayed with what he had. And he caught the fish to match the pan. Now I say that to say this. Sometimes God has a 12 or a 14 or a 16-inch blessing for us, but we only have an 8-inch faith to receive what He has. Did you get that? Sometimes God's got a blessing for us out there, but we don't have enough faith to believe God can supply our need. In 1982, God was calling me to Union County. And I'm going to be honest with you, this place didn't look as good as I thought it did. You didn't have nothing when I moved here. You didn't even have a McDonald's. You didn't even have an Ingles grocery store. You had the grocery store on the corner there, Foodland, and then you had the grocery store in Rogers Building, right? Didn't have nothing else. He didn't even have much of a post office at that time. And my kids were small. And we had gotten a McDonald's in our place. We've gotten all kind of restaurants to eat at. And they want me to move to Union County where you don't have that. And I remember coming across the mountain and they said, "Mama, where are we going to get groceries at?" That was their main concern. And they're moving into a Union County school that they've never been in before, and they don't have any friends here, so I'm sending them off into wherever. And I said, "I'm not going." That's what I told God. I'm not going. But after spending the night in an ICU unit with an old preacher that had lost his memory but still quoted scripture and quoted to me scripture all night long until he got to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. He quoted that. And then he quoted it again. Same passage, but this time he asked a question. Is anybody listening? Ain't nobody in there but me and him. He quoted it a third time. And then he asked again, is anybody listening? And honest before God, I said, "Yes, sir, I'm listening. Say on." And I turned over and wept on my pillow. And I said, "God, I'll go where you want me to go," because I was at the end of my rope. I didn't know where to turn to. I didn't know what to do. So 4 or 5 men. Daniel, your daddy, was one of those men. He brought an old mail truck over there and opened up the back gate on that and throwed every piece of clothes that me and my wife had and the kids had, and he threw it up in that truck, and across the mountain they came with it. They loaded all my furniture, what I had at that time, and put it on some old trucks, and they moved it into the parsonage up there, and they had a hot dog get-together that night in the basement of the parsonage. And everybody's saying, "We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here." And, I didn't know where I was glad to be there or not. But anyhow, I stayed with them 25 and a half years. And God met the need. But Mary and I left a job that was paying 3 or 4 times more than what they were paying. And I was having to trust God to meet my need. And they gave me that check on Sunday night. And when I opened up that check, I told my wife, I said, "Come in here and lay down on the bed with me. What do you want? Just come in here and lay down on the bed with me." She laid down on the bed with me and unfolded that check. And I said, "Can we live off this?" And this is what she said. "We have to. We have to." And we were kind of getting low on groceries, and they announced in the church that they're going to give the preacher a pounding. I said, "Oh, I don't want no pounding. I've had enough fights over the years." "Oh, no, that ain't what we're talking about. We're going to give you a pounding." Rufus Everett and Nancy was living in that day, and Rufus had a fairly new truck, And he backed it up to my garage. And the back of that truck was level full of everything that we could think of to eat. We were at the end of our rope. And there was other times when we didn't know what was going to happen. But God supplied the need. I was fixing to graduate from Bible school, and I lacked $500. I lacked $500, having enough money to pay my tuition, to get my cap and gown, to get my certificate, and graduate. And I didn't have $500. And my wife said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm just going to tell them to send my stuff to me." But I hadn't paid the bill. I'm sitting in my office that morning. Knock on the door. I went to the door. And a lady says, "Me and my sister this morning, we were praying at the table. And said, God told us you had a need. And said, we decided within ourselves that we'd meet that need." And she handed me a check. And when I opened up that check, $500. Whew. Little hallway went back down to my office and I was clicking my heels. I called my wife up and I said, "We're going to graduation." And a fella in the church gave me a new car to drive. Filled it up with gas and said, "Drive my car." So I drove his car and I went to graduation. And they said, "We're going out to eat." And we had enough money to eat. So are you at the end of your rope? Are you and your family struggling? Is your marriage on the rocks? What can you do to make things better? God knows our problems. God can meet our problems in every way that's possible. When the day is done, God can settle the debt. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the lessons that we've been able to accomplish over the years. Thank you for the lessons from the Word of God. I know that you're God who made all things possible according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now, Lord, help me and each one that's here this morning. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're at that end of the rope. Maybe they're between the rock and the hard place. And they don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know who has a need this morning, but you do. But Lord, I pray this morning, you'll take these empty vessels and you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit. That we might rejoice in thee. Thank you for the many times that you've come through for me. Thank you for the times, Lord, that when I doubted, you knew what you were going to do. Thank you for the times, God, that you met my need beyond even what the need was. And Lord, after 52 years of pastoring, you've blessed me beyond means. I'm not a rich man as far as monetary things, but I am rich with the things that God provides. I know how to trust you. Thank you, 11 years ago, God, you gave me another opportunity. I honestly didn't believe I'd be here that day. But God, you met the need. You put me with a doctor that knew how to take care of me. And he did. The only thing I was worried about that night was, he a Christian? And I remember he said to me, what does that have to do with me doing a job of putting a stent in your heart? But I wanted to know if this man was a Christian. He didn't answer me that night, but he did the next day. And I'm glad that Dr. Marshall knew how to treat me. I'm glad that my wife's not a widow today. There's some widows here that didn't have that opportunity. But God, you're meeting their need. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, I pray. While they come, while you stand. You can fill it up.
There is coming a day when no heartache.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.